Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Book Buzz with me, Susanna Greenberg, your host of Susanna Greenberg Public Relations and BookBuzz.com. This is a show all about books and authors, and today we have an author interview with Kunal Mukherjee, author of My Magical Palace, which is a lyrical tale of a boy's coming of age, and it's set in both 1970s India and contemporary San Francisco, and it's received wide coverage from Indian and international press, originally published by HarperCollins in India, and now available on Amazon and on the author's website, which is KunalMukherjee.com. I'll spell that again later. Welcome, Kunal. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Susanna. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. I loved the book, and I'm delighted that you could be here today and tell our listeners more about it. Tell us a little bit about, what is the book about, and just give us a brief overview of the book, if you would.
Sure, yeah. So My Magical Palace is really a story. It originated as a story of loss, of human loss, because that's one thing that binds all human beings together. But it really is, that's the very kernel of the story. But there are several characters in the story that have different threads and different plot lines that all sort of interweave together. But ultimately, it's all about breaking the rules to follow your heart and what it takes for all of us in any country in the world to be who we really are. Because as we grow up, we learn to hide parts of ourselves because for some reason or the other, something is not right. We're too fat or too dark or too tall or too short or the wrong religion or the wrong color or something. And, we learn how to hide ourselves and pretend to be someone else. And it's really about regaining one's own truth and standing in that.
Do you have favorite characters in the book? Do you want to tell us a little bit about the main character of the book?
Sure. So the protagonist of the character is Rahul Chatterjee, and he's actually he's a teenager, and he's growing up, and he realizes when he is he's been writing love letters to a male film star, and he realizes when something happens at school that what he has been doing is actually punishable as well as completely and not approved by society or his parents or anybody else. So he sort of goes into shock, but at the same time he develops as an adolescent teenager and his sexuality also develops at the same time. At the same time, there are other characters who are also having their own lifelines in the story. There is a girl called Malika who has an affair, a Hindu girl who has an affair with a Muslim boy, which is a big no-no in India. And he watches and sees how her parents and the rest of society, look the other way as she is forced into an arranged marriage. And at the same time, there's, his mother, his sister, all these characters develop in this period. And there's also someone called an uncle who is he's like a mentor and a very avuncular figure who really makes a difference to this boy's life. So I would say these are all the main characters in the book. So Colonel Uncle is very, very instrumental in what happens to Rahul as an adult, as do all the memories of, how everyone in his childhood, sort of transformed through the events that transpired. And it's only later on that he realizes, what happened, and that's how he engages in truth.
And can you explain the title, My Magical Palace, which in the book I think is also called The Mint House? What does that mean? Is the magical palace that you referred to in the title?
Okay, so I've been asked this question several times about what is true and what's not true. So I'll definitely say one thing. The one thing that is true is the time and place. And I did grow up in Hyderabad, and I did grow up in a place called the Mint House, which was the house where the Mint Master lived. And the Mint Master is the person who is in charge of all the coins that are made for the Indian government. And so I lived in the Mint House, And it was originally a palace that was abandoned by the Nizams who used to rule that area, the area of Hyderabad, mm-hmm. for several centuries. And they were very, very wealthy. And so this palace was abandoned. And if you read the book, you'll see why, the reader will see why that palace was considered a place of ill luck, bad luck. But anyway, so mm-hmm. that palace is the magical palace because it is symbolic of everything that happens to every human being when life is perfect and beautiful, and then at one point it sort of starts cracking, you know, the visage cracks, and one realizes that something is wrong and everything's not perfect, and that our parents are not perfect, and society is not perfect, and our teachers are not perfect, and our friends are not perfect, and then life turns into something else. So it's that coming of age moment of truth that that is reflected in the fate of the magical palace itself. And just to respond to the character question you asked earlier, the palace is a character in the book. Even though it is a building, the reader will experience it as a character.
I think so, yes. What a wonderful title. That is very evocative, and I agree, it is a character in the book. Would you say San Francisco is a character in the book, too?
No, San Francisco is the setting where, you know, that sort of contrasts with the setting in India, in Hyderabad. So San Francisco is less of a character than sort of a reflection of what is possible when people are allowed to be themselves and when mm-hmm. people are allowed to express themselves freely without being censored by society or being actually treated as criminals. So that is one extreme. Mm. And the other extreme is, you know, what happens when one is invisible and is not even noticed for being who one is. So San Francisco is really a contrast to Hyderabad, but no, it is not a character like the mint houses, no.
Mm-hmm. So it's really a point of contrast and how differently life is treated there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if the character as an adult, Rahul, does not go to San Francisco, what happens in his own development would never have occurred. So it's very, very important that he reaches that place and then figures out who he really is and what the cost of living a double life is, which he would never have experienced in India at all, because that is the life of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And tell us, you know, what are writers who have, or other cultural influences in your work, what writers have influenced you in your work, Kunal?
Well, I would have to say that my most significant influence in my writing has been Daphne du Maurier, and I absolutely loved her books as a child growing up, and I've reread Rebecca and Frenchman's Creek and, Jamaica Inn and all those books over and over again. And there was something about the way that she writes, that she wrote, that just really sparked something inside of me. I mean, my family has a very long lineage of writers, actors, in the film industry, stage actors, singers, performers, all of that. So writing is in my blood, so to speak. But mm-hmm. I would say that the catalyst for really lighting that fire was Daphne du Maurier. So she's been the most significant influence, I would say, in my writing. And mm-hmm. I always just wanted to write like her.
That's fascinating. She's a wonderful writer, and as soon as you say it, I can see it. But of course, one would have expected to hear maybe Indian writers. Are there... but, of course, the language of literature is international, thus proving that, which is a wonderful thing. But are there Indian writers that you're fond of or who might have influenced you as well?
Yeah, so just to put the things in context, you know, India was colonized by the British. And growing up, you know, most children read books by Enid Blyton, and she's a fantastic children's writer, as well as books like, Hardy Boys and all those books that are really set in the West and not in India. So, I mean, like, I didn't have any, I seriously, I did not have any Indian writers whose books I read in English. I just read books of, you know, for British writers that were handed to us and were the current, you know, rage among all my peers. The translations were not very, very big at that time. I would say the only influence that I can really think of that actually was pretty powerful is Rabindranath Tagore, who was the poet laureate of India, and he won the Nobel Prize. And so being Bengali, there is absolutely no escape and no reason to escape from the richness of the language as well as the richness of the stories and the culture. So I would say then that the biggest influence in Indian was Rabindranath Tagore's stories, his short stories, his poems, his plays, because I acted in so many of them. And my father made sure that I was well, you know, well exposed to all of this. And on the other side, you know, there are writers in Hindi, like Munshi Premchand, for example. He wrote some incredible books, and there were some of them are quite scathing indictments of society. So my mother, who was primarily a Hindi speaker, even though she was Bengali, made sure that I was exposed to Hindi literature in Hindi. But in English, I would say that I was really exposed to British writers. And I'm not sure that has changed a lot today, because I still see references to, you know, Enid Blyton, and there's nothing wrong in that. I love those books.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a both Indian and British, many influences, really.
Yes.
That reflect the culture of the country, too. And I guess the poetry has had an influence on you as well. You are also a poet, is that right?
Yes, yes. My great-grandmother, at the age of 99, was still writing poems. So, yeah, poetry. And I wrote my first poem when I was probably 4 years old. And I have never, ever stopped writing poetry. Though as an adult, I write more when I'm in extreme angst. But I'm learning to get away from that and write when something moves me, which can also be something extremely happy and fulfilling.
And hopefully, I guess the writing of poetry might help distill your thoughts that go into your fiction as well. Do you find that they relate, the two forms? Does it help you to write the fiction or vice versa?
Well, absolutely. There's one thing. You know, starting out as a writer, I think everybody goes through a process of understanding the craft of writing. And when I started writing seriously as an adult, of course, I realized that, you know, I had no clue about character and plot and dialogue or any of these things. And while these may be, you know, considered as cliched, sort of rigid, straitjacket formats that every writer must stick to, it's not really that. There is something called a form. There is something that causes the reader to change it, turn the page and want to know what's going on. And most of all, there is something that can that a writer has to do to make the reader love the characters. Because the reader doesn't love the characters, there's no reason to read that book. And the whole point of writing is to make sure that the reader can relate to the to the character and is concerned about what happens to him or her. Or it, or
okay.
It's an animal or a building or a tree, it doesn't matter.
All right.
So,
well,
yeah.
On that note, Kunal, I'm afraid we're coming to the close. It's been fascinating chatting with you. And I want to remind readers about the wonderful characters, including the palace itself in My Magical Palace. We've been chatting with Kunal Mukherjee, author of My Magical Palace, a novel. And you can contact Kunal through his website, kunalmukherjee.com, or Google My Magical Palace, and it's available on Amazon. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time and kind attention, Susanna. I really look forward to further conversations with you.
And everyone should go read My Magical Palace, and thank you for listening. And this has been Book Buzz with our guest, Kunal Mukherjee, author of My Magical Palace. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Susanna.
Absolutely.